Listeners and viewers, Ron Stefanski here, host of Disrupt Ed, where we talk to the disruptors, those seemingly ordinary humans who are, in point of fact, doing some extraordinary things in the area of mobility, in the area of workforce development and upskilling, in the area of education. And today, we're going to be turning our attention once again to the issue of workforce development. Why is this a conversation we keep coming back to? I'll tell you why. It is mission critical that we get this right. As we were talking recently at a meetup with President of City Council, Mary Sheffield, in Detroit, she talked about inclusive workforce development as one of the engines to continue powering Detroit's economic juggernaut, and that we really need to expand opportunities and access to education and training to help people get the jobs with the skills they need. And so, turning our attention to that, today I have two heavyweight champions in the ring. I have with us today Sandy Mead, the Vice President of Workforce Development for Skilled Trade. Hey, Sandy, great to have you back.
Nice to see you, Ron. Great to be here.
And we also have Tracy Carey, the CEO of Midwest Urban Strategies, which is a workforce nonprofit dedicated to a very high level of GSD, getting shit done. Tracy, that's your middle name. So I want to start right away and jump into this with you. You know, you and I keep coming back to this conversation about the need for more upskilling in different innovative ways. And you said it yourself. It's to the point where we hear the innovation word so much, it's almost diluted. But workforce has been doing things the same way for a very long time, and we can't do it the same way because it's not working. We're spending a lot of money. We have people come into workforce shops. They talk about their skill gaps, and the workforce board sends them off to a community college to take some courses, which may or may not lead to a credential, and may or may not lead to an improved job prospect for them. That model no longer works. We have to be much more adaptive, but we have to be much more impact-oriented. And one of the things I'm intrigued by that you brought up in your speech at the Detroit conference, and you and I have talked about off camera, is this idea of strategic partnerships. And so I want to delve into that a little bit more with you and let our audience hear your perspective as someone who formed a nonprofit simply to get more stuff done. I mean, your nonprofit, as I understand it, best described, Midwest Urban Strategies, is there to help the workforce systems in the related and connected communities across the span of the Midwest to do more business together, to get more partnerships underway, and to attract more federal and state funding to get the work done. Is that a fair elevator spiel about Midwest Urban Strategies?
Ron, you nailed it. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really delighted to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this really critical issue that is so deeply impacting every one of our communities. We spend a lot of time talking about how we move people into the jobs of today and tomorrow. And that's especially critical now, because we are at a really important inflection point in our economy. With the fast pace that technology is bringing for the work experience that individuals get engaged in, we have to move at that pace. And the only way to accomplish that sort of speed and efficiency is by working together. So we really do believe that collaboration and cooperation are the new competition. So in order to help people move into those career pathways that are going to give them the kind of wages they need to support their families, we need to make sure that we are at the systems level working together to create the avenues for people to come in and utilize the resources. We talk a lot about braided funding but we also need to talk about braided resources, not just money, but the connections that are necessary so that people don't have to navigate systems. Rather, systems create the connectivity that makes it possible for people to get the resources they need to achieve their goals and dreams. And that is at the heart of the work that Midwest Urban Strategies is working to advance through its network of workforce development boards.
You know, it's interesting, this word around braided funding and braided opportunities. Sandy's been putting this bug in my ear about this for a while now. Sandy, you want to unpack that a little bit and how it's working? Because you have found that it's a very effective strategy as a for-profit skills provider working with workforce development agencies and other organizations.
You know, absolutely, Ron. We had the honor of sponsoring Midwest Urban Strategies Detroit convening back in the spring, in the fall, and getting to work with Tracy and the Detroit team and meeting so many of her different members. And, you know, the opportunity that they wanted to do was to present this braided sharing through all of their partners and invited us to attend. And it was pretty exciting because that's exactly what happened. We were able to meet with Detroit at Works and partner with Focus Hope that does a lot of additional supportive services and put together a three-way partnership, working together, braiding our resources to provide training for 20 Detroit residents to get medical assistant training, clinical labs, externships, certifications to fill the jobs in Detroit today. It's exactly the vision that Midwest Urban Strategies has wanted and presented. And having this collaboration working together is showing the success of these students because they're getting the added support needed to take away the barriers to make sure they're able to complete their 20-week medical assistant training program. The exciting part is because of this partnership, we already have employers. We brought employers to the table before the program even started. We know who's getting their exposure.
I think I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's exactly where this thing gets braided together, is that you're bringing employers in. So you've moved from a model where you kind of hope something good comes from doing something good to, no, we have a very dedicated plan that's going to produce really impactful results. And then we're going to connect that to an employer who's been waiting to recruit people with these specific skills, competencies, and experience. I think it's a wonderful way to look at it. You know, now, Tracy, you spend a lot of your time brokering conversations between the workforce systems in, I want to get it right, Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Illinois. Is that correct?
Well, let me go through the list real quick. So the membership right now includes Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and then a consortium of workforce boards who are located in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. So we are growing. And
this is huge, right?
And at the core of what we're doing together, we're not open to just anybody. We don't accept membership from just anybody. We have a vetting process that we go through because we want people who are like-minded, who are committed to this idea of really leaning into innovation and disrupting the systems that exist currently to move us toward where we want to be in terms of how the system is best positioned to serve people and employers. We have a dual customer approach that is bringing resources to both sides of that equation. And partnerships with people like Sandy are key to us being able to meet that. Sandy said something critical and you keyed into it, Ron. They had employers ready to hire. Sandy, you shared the number of open medical assistant positions as we were preparing for this. What was that number you said?
51,000. Current postings for medical assistants across the country. The need is there.
And
that's crazy.
That represents employers. And those employers need people to fill those roles so that they can perform the things that their business exists to do. Without them, they're not able to serve patients. they're not able to meet their own corporate mission. And so we have to come together, Sandy and I, Ron, Sandy and I, to move forward a strategy that helps prepare people for those occupations. And we need to look at everybody, because people aren't having babies at the rate that they used to have babies. The baby boomer generation, God bless them, had lots of babies, right? They had lots of kids. From that point forward, future generations are not producing at the same rate. And yet we need people to fill these jobs. So we've got to get everybody. Anybody sitting on the sidelines, we need to figure out how we're going to get them in, right? And it's partnerships like the ones that we're building here that makes that possible.
I think what you're talking about is so mission critical because, you know, I look at right down here in NewLab, and we have Black Tech Saturdays happening every week here, and it's an ecosystem that they've built, and the need is there. The ecosystem started with 40 or 50 of us that got together on a Saturday. I was on the sidelines chronicling it. That there were all kinds of tech entrepreneurs at various states in their career path, and they all came together to be part of a community. That community grew from 60 to over 2,000 now. I mean, this place gets packed with people every week. What are they doing? They're networking. They're finding more opportunities to upskill and to get specific skills for specific employers that are occupying space in this very building. Since NewLab began, we brought in almost 200 new businesses, and these businesses all need workers, skilled workers. You know, and that takes us to another point in this conversation, and that is, you know, for a long time, we were really harnessing this idea that we needed to get more people graduated from college. But that doesn't seem to be the magic bullet in the recent years. We're actually seeing a decline in interest and in enrollment in the higher ed sector. And that's for a number of strong headwinds. We have cost is one, and also relevancy is another, where people say, I'm not sure I'm really getting much closer to that job I want by getting a four-year degree. I mean, when we all grew up into the workforce, we had the magic recipe. Listen to your parents. Go to college, get a degree, find a job, learn how to hold a job, keep a job, build from there. That model doesn't work for this generation. A lot more gig opportunities for people where they're working and balancing two or three jobs. And we're also seeing the rise of something else in the workforce that I want to talk about a little bit, and that's fractional employment, you know, where people are coming in and they're a fractional person. They're doing that work. They have that very unique skill set, but the company may not be able to afford them full time. So they afford them at a fractional rate. And that person then has to go and find other opportunities to fill in the other fractions so that, you know, so that they have a full pie of opportunities, I guess, just extending the analogy. So what are your thoughts on that, Tracy?
Oh, wow. That was a lot. I want to go back to what you said about NewLab, because what that sparked for me is the reminder that people are hungry. They're hungry for opportunities to create. And NewLab represents that 100%. And I think that people are also hungry for a little bit of agency and autonomy in how their careers progress. And sometimes the truest model, you know, the basic model for a 2 or 4 year degree program doesn't really give the individual a lot of agency in how they accomplish that, right? It's fairly rigid. It requires butts and seats. And I think it's up to colleges and universities at this point to evolve and meet the moment, because people aren't seeing the value proposition in the same way. They're seeing programs like skill trades offerings with medical assistant as a better way to stack their credentials so that they can make themselves more valuable. And they may do that by picking up shifts here and there. Maybe they're doing caregiving for several companies as they're building their skill base and their resume.
Right. Again, right. That nature of stacking job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that this economy and where it's headed, is, you know, there are certainly some concerns in that, right? I think that people have, of our generation, are used to having access to fringe benefits that include healthcare and, you know, dental and vision. Those are always nice things to have. If you're working in a gig type or a flex type job, you probably don't have access to that. So how do you make sure that you're, you know, getting your family cared for? I think there are a lot of questions about where this economy is going, and it'll be interesting to see how it evolves. But to us, the most important thing is making sure that we are reaching out into every community and bringing in as many people back to the workforce as we can and creating the on-ramps that are real and tangible and result in jobs at the other end. No more train and pray. You've said it a bunch of times, Ron. We don't train and pray. What we do is we train and we place, and then we support through retention.
That's a fantastic way to frame what we've been talking about. And Sandy, I want to bring you into this conversation because you've been a workforce warrior for over two decades. What are you seeing now in terms of bringing, you know, Tracy's talked about the value, the critical value of strategic partnerships that are knocking down those silos we've been encountering for years, that are working on things like the series of arcane regulations that mess up the real true intent behind ETPL and some of the other funding levers that we use in the workforce ecosystem. So Sandy, you've been knocking these walls down for many, many years. And what are you seeing now in terms of, you know, working in this capacity to build partnerships and to have others going and doing the work with you?
You're absolutely right. And it is community. It is partnerships. Being a part of a member with Tracy and Midwest Urban Strategies and being a community partner is what's going to make the difference. We have to train to today's next generation. You know, online training now has been around for a while, but no longer do they want to listen to a PowerPoint, you know, a voice over a PowerPoint slide. We have to bring AI into it, keep their attention, keep their interaction built into the training. And that's exactly what we're doing, is being innovative with our training, having AI avatars where the student actually talks to their patients and gets graded by this avatar throughout their program. Bring in employers from the beginning of the training, not waiting until they've completed and trying to assist and place them. But if you get them involved, then it's exciting for the student to finish because they see the light at the end of the tunnel. They see the support that the workforce boards are doing and providing the community support for these stackable skills that Tracy mentioned.
You know, one of the partners that's not here today, but has been at the table in Detroit, and you've been partnering with and looking at ways to collaborate with, is Strive out of New York, a long and storied workforce agency and nonprofit that's been really lifting up people through a dedicated, full-on support system. So it's not just the training, it's the wraparound services. And it's almost like the lifelong enrollment plan. You become a Strive person, and you're a Strive person for life. You may fall out of your job or your work. You may need to be reskilled. Guess what? If you've been in a Strive program, you automatically come to the front of the line. There's an ongoing relationship with those people to get reskilled as necessary. And they're building out those kinds of programs across the country now. They've moved into Birmingham, they've moved into Atlanta, and they've moved into New Orleans. And now they've recently announced that they're moving into Newark. And guess what? They're also contemplating my hometown, Detroit, Michigan. And they're talking about coming here. And in those conversations, as we engage more stakeholders at the table, what becomes really, really clear is Strive is looking at this in an interesting way. They're saying, not here's what we do, we bring it in, we're going to set it up, and here you're going to plug this in and then crank this out. They're being much more intentional, and they're saying, you have a lot of workforce partners here in the community. Where do you have the need? Where do you have the demand? And what needs aren't being met? Clearly, one of them, a significant one of them, is in healthcare. And so I'd like both of you to kind of tackle the question of healthcare. Why? What explains the sort of explosive need for more people in the non-clinical jobs as medical assistants and medical billing and coding and all these other jobs? What's driving that?
You know, from the workforce development side, I'm sure you have your goal. You mentioned earlier about us baby boomers, you know, where there's a lot of older people, there's a lot more need. So therefore, it's creating the healthcare systems to have those more healthcare systems ready, more people ready to help us baby boomers as we continue to go through it. So there's no doubt you have that. I think COVID put a spin to a lot of the healthcare, and we did the nosedive, and we're still climbing our way out of it and finding out, you know, there was a change. People left, and now we have to bring it back up. So I think it's a mixture throughout the economy of all of that working together, showing the need, because healthcare is a high demand sector all across the country. Tracy, what do you
think? Yeah, and I think that the thing that's really important is one of the things that we impress on people all the time in the care economy, sort of writ large, but specifically at this point talking about healthcare, is the opportunities for advancement. So if you come in as a medical assistant, maybe that's where you want to stay and spend your life, but maybe it's not. Maybe it is something that you want to begin at the in the healthcare industry with your medical assistant credential, and then you want to become an RN, or maybe you want to become a physician's assistant, or maybe you'd like to move in to some laboratory work or become a surge tech. There are lots of opportunities to advance in the healthcare industry, but we focused on doctors and nurses. That's what we focused on. And we didn't focus attention on helping people understand the other occupational pathways that they could enter into and make a living wage at.
That's a really, really good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
those stackable skills, right?
Absolutely. Listeners and viewers, you've been listening to two workforce warriors, Sandy Mee, the Vice President of Workforce Development at SkillTrade, and Tracy Carey, the CEO of Midwest Urban Strategies. Ladies, this has been a really, really great conversation. If you were addressing directly our listening audience and saying, okay, if there's one or two takeaways as you've been listening in, as we close this episode out, what's your one? Each of you gets one big key takeaway that you want our audience to leave with.
So my big takeaway is that at this point in our economy, we can leave no stone unturned. We cannot leave anybody sitting on the sidelines. In order for us to fully function, we need every body who's able to work in the workforce. And that means we as system players need to work together to create the supports and the connections necessary for those folks to make their way in and gain the skills they need and achieve the success that they need for themselves and their families. Together as an ecosystem, we can accomplish.
Sandy, over to you to close this up.
Yeah, absolutely agree with what Tracy said. It is that community partnership. It's being innovative and working together. We need to think of the employer. That's a key part to this. We need to think of the job seekers. And we have the resources from training providers to workforce boards to nonprofits to work together and utilize all of our resources for the success of each and every one. Not only is it braided funding, it is braided supportive services.
Love that. So on that note, ladies, I want to have you back. I want to hear more. And we've got so much energy and so much activity here at NewLab. We're going to invite you back at the end of the summer to bring us up to date on where you've been taking this subsequent to this conversation. In the meantime, listeners and viewers, get disrupted with us. What do I mean by that? In this 5G wired, workforce augmented, technology interconnected, globally interdependent, AI accelerated, web immersive 3 accelerated, pandemic interrupted world of work and learning, there's so much more to do. And so until the next time, we're signing off. Ron Stefanski on Disrupt Ed. Thanks so much for joining us.